Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Ryan Burns. Before I bring him on, I have just a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Go check us out on Rockfin. You get our premium content, all the shows you can't see anywhere else, and all the awesome content from all the creators that are there on Rockfin. Check out the podcasts that we feature on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. That website is forbiddenknowledge.news. Currently, we have 8 podcasts there that we're featuring, with another coming soon. Finally, we are living in extremely unsure times. An emergency food supply would be a really good investment. Check out the experts in emergency preparedness, My Patriot Supply. Their nutritious, delicious food stays good in storage for up to 25 years. And right now you can get up to $100 off a 4-week supply. Just click that link in the description and see what My Patriot Supply has to offer. Today I want to welcome back to the show Ryan Burns. He began researching the Uintah Basin and the mysterious skinwalkers in the area many years ago. But when his passion for answers could no longer be quenched, he left his corporate job in Salt Lake City and moved to the desolate and remote basin to investigate the ranch full-time. He now owns property overlooking the ranch, and he hosts a popular podcast, Hero Paranormal, and has written about his experiences investigating shapeshifters, UFOs, and precognitive intelligences. Ryan, welcome back. How you doing today?
Doing great, man. How you been?
Man, I've been great. It's awesome to have you back on. We always have an amazing conversation when you come on. And you live in a truly magical area that experiences such an extraordinary spectrum of high strangeness. And you've experienced firsthand some incredible encounters. Since we've talked, actually, have you had any kind of high strangeness experiences in the past year or so?
Yeah, there's been a few. I would say that, you know, it's not anything that is different, but it's something you get to live with. And it's, if you visit these areas a lot, there's a reason people avoid them, in my opinion. There is spiritual reasons why people would avoid these areas, in my opinion. But you know, much like anybody has like goals in life or whatever, like when I kind of put some of the dots together and realized that experiences from my past had to do with an area that's also extremely well studied for high strangeness. You know, it's weird. You realize that, yeah, there's where there's smoke, there's fire, and you can go any number of directions. There's so many different parts to it. So it's really cool.
I noticed the first time I came, you know, out west in general, there's just a different kind of vibe out here. And, you know, I've passed through Utah and then, you know, in Vegas, and I've gone to a few high strangest areas, but none in the Uintah Basin. But I'm wondering, is there a different type of energy that you can feel in that specific area that you're in that's maybe more dense than the rest of the West? Because out here in Colorado, there's a few areas that might have a little strange, areas of high strangeness, but I feel a much lighter energy in a lot of these places. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that the energies there and how it applies to you is like really has to do with like your mood, where you're at spiritually, health wise. There are all kinds of things come into play. And, you know, it's an area that is truly fantastic, as you said, because you have so many different things going on. It's very synergistic, much like a prism is when light hits it. And it's got so many different things going on, occult, you know, aerial craft, UAPs, possible underground activity. It's the proverbial smorgasbord of paranormal prisms, and cryptozoology intersects with, you know, the spiritual world of the Native Americans, and it just gets deep.
Now, I know the different types of landscapes and geography, it varies so different from even, you know, within miles of each other. I know in Colorado I'll be traveling to, you know, go for one mountain hike and the landscape will be completely different and look completely different and feel completely different than somewhere like, you know, 10 miles down the road. And it seems to be like that throughout a lot of the West. And there's, you know, different energies throughout these places. But when it comes to the areas that you're in, do you find that, you know, different when you get to, I guess, closer to these areas of high strangeness? And do you think that the reason that a lot of this paranormal activity is occurring is due to what may be, you know, underground in the landscape, some kind of electromagnetic activity, something that could have possibly happened in the past? What do you think is causing the concentration of high strangeness in some of these areas?
I think there is old technology, much like spirit devices still in operation, ancient spirit devices. And whether you want to call that a curse or other phenomena that go along that evil magic route or dark arts. And then there is the military engagement with the phenomena, intercepting it and believing that it is a threat of some sort and studying it. And that's well documented in the past with communicated through, as you know, the ATIP and the OSAP leaks, those connected back to a branch of the government that basically got started in this area. And, so there's all kinds of stuff.
Now, I want to go back for a second what you said, spiritual devices, and kind of dissect what you might mean by that. You know, I know that there is types of spiritual technology that I've discussed with you. I've discussed with actually James Keenan, who does a lot of work out there, that he believes that there is some sort of ancient, maybe alien or multidimensional kind of etheric technology out there that's controlling a lot of this high strangeness. I find that fascinating. Is that also what you mean by that, or is it different aspects?
Yeah, there's a roaming presence that seems like a technology, at least in the way it acts and interacts with the observer. Yet it is seemingly out of this world or just beyond our imagination. It's something out of the spirit world, really, I think. And the sooner people realize that some portion of this has a spiritual vibe to it, it's a good thing to be vibing with the location instead of fighting it. And there's basically, you're dealing with an ancient artificial technology or something that mimics the abilities of the observer in ways that entice the observer, and it interacts on some plane that is, it's somewhat archonic in that it enjoys the interaction like a trickster would. And it's really intelligent within its abilities to not only mimic what it is you are projecting, but do so in a way that is enticing and very provocative. And they call it, like in Norse culture and in a lot of Europe, they call it the glamour. Yeah. So, you know, if you could put that word into, it's like really good a description. When I heard that, I was like, that's a really good description. But yeah, it's really amazing the information discovered about the area and just how long it goes back. It goes back 15 generations, according to the Ute. So it's significant.
And there's differing opinions also about, you know, what there could be some of the root causes of high strangeness. Some of them believe, you know, it's a Native American curse. Some believe that there are portals that have been opened due to, you know, rituals that might have gone on in the desert. The Crowley and Parsons crazy rituals that went out in some of those Nevada deserts. And there's also speculation that our nuclear testing may have attracted some type of multidimensional or even extraterrestrial entities to that area, and then also that it's just such, there's such seclusion out there, just a different type of, you know, there's not much human interference and energy, and things might be able to flow more freely there. I don't know. It could be a combination of all that stuff, you know?
For sure. The power and ability of this precognitive intelligence, whatever it is, that's interacting with other things in the area, because according to some things I've seen, you can have three things happening at once. And it's very difficult to understand, you know, it's much like an observer observing something, observing something, observing something. So very dimensional. And depending on where people are angled to the event, if there's more than, you know, two or three observers, it will seem different from different angles. So 2/3 of the people will see the exact same thing, and the third won't see anything. And sometimes they're closer to the actual phenomena than the other two that observe it. So it's very interesting. There seems to be a cloaking that can take place, at least to some individuals, and whatever these displays are, this reincarnation of that confronts individuals. It's like a reincarnation of spirit or some kind of spirit device, I think, some technology or an alien artificial intelligence. It's definitely got, it's got something etherical about it that is, you know, not to use strange words, but they're like gods with a small g, or they're definitely, you're dealing with elemental entities at some point that have abilities that the average human being can be englamored by or enticed by.
You mentioned something interesting, how some people will be there amongst a, you know, a group of others that may see something different or not see anything at all. And for me, I tend to think that they may be the state of consciousness that that person is in, if they are more open to experience things of this nature. I don't know. Have you noticed a certain type of person that may not experience these things? Maybe someone less spiritual, less open to paranormal, more closed-minded?
It is, yeah, depending on the closure of the mind. If they are very closed-minded, they will have an abrupt awakening of some sort that will hit them in either a spiritual, an alien, or an internal sense that they can relate to or understand, but something at some proverbial place and time, the stuff will hit the fan. And the way the person processes that, and when they see one of these displays, the way the person processes that is going to say a lot about their health, their happiness, their love, their wisdom, and the body, you know, in general. So it's a spiritual phenomena that people face, but it's like also, you know, like a person like yourself, I'm sure, very, you know, people that have inquisitive natures about them, much like the trickster itself, there is really a dance that can take place and an interesting interaction.
Yeah, definitely. And we talked about this before, the kind of strange animals and the even like etheric animals and animals that seem to be part in two different dimensions at the same time, and animals that don't look like they should, things of that nature, I find fascinating in this area. And we've spoken about a few of the things that you've seen. Have you seen anything of that nature lately? Any kind of strange animals or etheric animals or weird dogs or coyotes or things of that nature?
You know, the closest thing I've seen recently are skunks, but that doesn't really count. But no, it's been a little while, but it is something that I think it can take the shape of anything. So you become very aware of the surroundings around you. So even like a skunk or something will get your attention. Yeah. But when, you know, it's not a matter, it doesn't happen every time necessarily unless you want it to. And most people don't want it to. So, but... I think there's something roaming that landscape in a certain way, and it's able to interact with people that want to communicate with it, or people that are open to something a little different or at peace with it. It will interact in a way that is most catered to the observer. So the observer's mind has a lot to do with that.
I find that also really fascinating, how personal this experience is for each person and how it can vary, but have, you know, little similarities here and there. I'd love for you to tell us maybe some of the most profound, even, you know, strange animal encounters or even a kind of beings that you've seen out there that you can't really explain what you saw. Maybe some of the ones that really stick out in your mind.
Sure. Everything from things that made me convinced that it was just one thing. Let's say you just go down one alleyway. So first I was just convinced that this was a legendary Native American type phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Went down that path, and you know, it is for sure. And as far as going down the path of like, no, this is possibly interdimensional. That's a guarantee that I guarantee is happening. And I don't know what those watchers are watching, but then there's the aspect that there's a very real, almost underground phenomena taking place. Mm-hmm. And it's a completely different entity, something that would be more alien in nature, more.
Could you give us like some specific examples of like maybe something you've seen or, you know, something you've encountered?
Yeah, I've seen basically a wolf like creature with another researcher, and our recollection is similar enough that it totally is the same. We have the same recollection of what took place. So basically a wolf coalescing out of a almost nanobot technology type of small wisping force or creature, like a smoke. Yeah.
That's
Tony Merkel of the Confessionals.
Did it interact with you in any way? Did it notice you or, you know?
Oh, for sure. Like, wow. Okay. So the way it started was, it's a weird story that just gets weirder. And the way it started was we were watching some flashing devices, which acted very drone-like. Some call them spirit lights, but they could flash in certain directions for a certain amount of time and travel when they were actually off. Yeah. And do so quite quickly. One of them flashed us from above this little cavern or crevasse that we had got in and hidden in, because we could tell these things were coming across the landscape at us. And yeah, we dove down into this crevasse and this thing flashed us from above, and the light was so bright. What was interesting is the way I was looking down and saw the huge flash. The other researcher looked up and saw the three silvery balls, basically.
Yeah.
The size of kind of like the ball in Phantasm, something akin to that looking type of a device. And they were disconnected, but in formation of a triangle, and somehow ignited and flashed down the light. Now, directly after that happened is when we heard a thud in the sandscape above us, the very desert landscape with thick dust in some areas. And this landed down, and you could even hear the thud, and you could kind of see when we popped our heads up, because we were both very inquisitive that it had landed so close to us, you know. It was emitting these small particulates.
Wow.
And, Jesus. And, you know, these things were acting like little mini drones, really, like tiny little gnats, or, as the djinn is described, a smokeless fire. And it was swirling, you know, much like people see like the genie in the lamp, like in your like kids' cartoons, like much like that swirling, black mass of small particulates. You could make them out a little bit, and it was swirling into the form of this canine, and it did, and it was close enough that we were freaking out, and it took a few steps, and then it started to disappear, like
dematerialize
wow, correctly.
Wow, man.
Yeah, exact. And exactly what I was thinking. It's just dematerializing before our eyes, much like, and it became something else. Like, and it, we believe it did, because it exited sort of stage left, and then out of the same area comes this small porcupine, creature.
Oh, no. What?
Wow. And it's rolling a ball on the ground and a rock. It was very strange, very, very strange the way it was interacting with us. But
that is super fascinating, man.
Yeah, the more smaller it was like the more tangible and close. And I mean, by the time it was a porcupine, it started maybe 6 to 8 to 10 feet away. And by the time it was a porcupine, it was just a couple feet. Man. So it definitely found out how to get close and get within that barrier of safety.
That's really fascinating. Now, out of all the, you know, high strangers you've witnessed, have you ever had any encounters with maybe like a Men in Black type official type entities coming and questioning you, or maybe just seen in the area or anything like that? Anyone you can't explain?
Yeah, some of them have been able. I would have. I have been able to explain some of them away, but others I can't. And it's one of these things that some of them were obviously people just keeping an eye on things back in those days. And I found that out. But there's also experiences I can't explain, you know, with similar vehicles, people, and things of that nature.
Anything stick out, you know, in particular in your mind, any of these stories or encounters with these officials or unnamed entities?
Yeah, one of them actually happened not anywhere near the area, and that kind of happens often, and especially when you live in Vegas, where there's still ties to some of these corporations, entities, and anyway, interests. And the interesting thing is that it's always wild when it happens. I was walking my dog, and there was a guy with a fedora, typical Men in Black dress. It was ridiculous. Like you could, and I was just like, oh, I got to get a picture of this guy. But it was so awkward, you know, cause I'm walking my dog and he's behind me and he's chirping and things. He's like kind of doing these weird chirps every once in a while, and either extremely mentally unstable or had a very strange way of communicating. And
dude, I've heard stories like these people, they act weird sometimes, like not human.
Super weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it weirded me out so bad. And I got back home, and at the top of my cul-de-sac, there's like this little bench, and there this guy is just sitting there on this bench, like making these weird sounds, still just sitting down there, acting very insect-like. But
that's
insane. Yeah, it was definitely strange because it was in an area and a place that I considered far enough away that it was, you know, safe. And, but yeah, anything is possible. And a lot of other neighboring properties, ranch owners have encountered very similar types of people that, can only be described really as Men in Black. They have no official markings, but they're all dressed in black. And yeah.
Now, you've been involved in that area for a long time. Have you noticed an increase in, say maybe three-letter agency activity, military activity, things of that nature?
I'm blown away reading some of the latest publications on that like Skinwalkers from the Pentagon exam, for example.
Yeah,
that book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm realizing this is not so unique. This happens to all kinds of people in all kinds of walks of lives. And you know, you have strange government technologies being tested to interact with, document, and gather data from the interaction with these others.
To me, that doesn't seem like a good idea, but you know,
we'll see. Tech versus tech.
Yeah.
It's a technology battle, and it's just different types of technology. So it's truly a fantastic area the way it's throughout the years. It just seems to have been exponentially magnified in activity, like energies and things of that nature. Back when it was strictly a reservation, Fort Duchesne, it was there was a number of Buffalo soldiers that were stationed there. In fact, the majority of the fort was manned by Buffalo soldiers, and the first cavalry of Buffalo soldiers ever to be set out basically on the landscape and prove their worth. A lot of these guys were Prince Hall Masons. They also practiced voodoo. They had risen ranks very quickly in very unrecognizing times. And they were very capable as well of doing their own. They had their own abilities to do evil magic. And so you have these occult rituals against each other, the Masonic ties. If you go back even further, there are some interesting gold oriented Templar stories in the area. And to add insult to injury, there is this Native American curse, skinwalker attacks and witchcraft battles that is basically coming out of the Navajo land towards the Ute. And it is a virtual mecca of like high-end Jedi style magic of the dark arts. And then you have the deep defense intelligence agency jump in. I mean, you know, it's like batter up,
man. And that's crazy. And it's no doubt that that area would attract occultists, and because of the super high energy and concentration of that stuff that's going on in the area. Have you seen anything like secret societies or just people going do rituals out in the desert because it's just that area?
Yes, I've seen everything from. Well, I'll just start with the darkest. The taking of materials from grave sites at night by the practitioners for the necromantic confrontations.
Holy shit, that can't be good.
Yeah. you know, they're looking for hair, fingernails, jewelry, even clothing, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the more power. So depending on exactly what night being they're trying to evoke. So it's really excellent, awesome elemental magic, but just not exactly the type people believe exist, including myself originally. But it's very real, and you have an area that for the most part is also very conservative Mormon, you know. So you have like very salt of the earth people, good people, hardworking people, and then you know, right next door, you've got these evil magicians. So there's a lot going on. And then the UFO and UAP phenomena in the area, it's very hard to tell which toys are ours and which aren't.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And how they're interacting. So
that's crazy. Well, now that we're going into the kind of ET phenomenon part, this is another thing that I'm convinced that it's all connected to this paranormal soup that we're witnessing in the area, from, you know, the ghosts and Bigfoot and gray aliens and UFOs. But I want to get your take on why this connection is so strong here, and what do you think is going on with some of the first of all, gray aliens that are seen there? There's many different theories on what these guys are, some kind of biological AIs or even interdimensional, real biological entities. But first, have you ever seen a gray or any type of extraterrestrial out there?
I saw it the closest thing I could describe it as is a very tall, slender, white creature dressed in human clothes that almost pulling it off.
Really?
And the head was just too long and large, small mouth, large eyes, but very interesting looking. And, trying to pull off being a human in the dark, and even had a little red headlamp and a walkie talkie and was talking something, but you couldn't understand the language. And I've had other instances with other researchers that we'll see like red and blue lights flying across the landscape towards us.
Yeah.
And at the time I was with two others, and I realized, wow, I was very worried about dealing with some kind of security of some sort for whatever reason. And everybody was freaking out because there's no way these things could be traveling that fast along this landscape. And it was barking orders in some other language, some very ancient sounding language. It sounded like very cool, but you couldn't make it out. And then as I realized that there's no way it could be a car or a law enforcement vehicle, it just began to pixel out, you know, like much like a hologram would if you just pulled the plug on it. And everybody saw that happen. And so it was really cool. It was like, wow, what did you, you know, who was that? What did you think of? It's like, oh, darn you, Ryan. And, it was my fault. I was thinking of that, and I shouldn't have been thinking of that, and I brought it in, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, this seems to be much more of a phenomenon that's connected closer to us. I don't think it's a, you know, alien visitors come and visit from maybe a different galaxy or planet. I think it may be more interdimensional, multidimensional thing where just beyond the spectrum of our vision, there's all this shit that we can't see, and they're a part of it, or it's a part of it, whatever it is that we're interacting with. It's definitely all connected somehow, but it's fascinating to look at how it interacts with people and why and who.
Compared to them, I just can only think of we're very malleable, and it's easy for them to recognize us. And much like a dog gets used to like a new baby in the family or something. If it's, you know, if you're an intruder coming into the house, it's going to act very much differently than if it knows who you are and that you're harmless, you know, and you're just trying to interact with them again. It seems that they have some sort of memory, or it could be more like, science seems to be proving, especially Harvard, and I believe it's MIT, much like I'm sure you've spoken with Eric Mitchell, and they're doing this antenna research on how different genetic bloodlines and people, individuals, have more of a device almost built in them to interact with these things, draw in either UAPs or UFOs, whatever you want to call them, spirit lights, and other things. You know, that strangeness seems to follow them, and it seems to be scientifically somewhat provable now, which is really wild. So that's cool. I'm waiting to hear more from those studies, but it's definitely an entities, I should say, that are able to jump into that spiritual barrier that we all have much easier in a way that catches us off guard.
This area and the whole phenomenon has an extremely dualistic nature. It seems that it can have a lighthearted, loving trickster type of nature where it just wants to play with people, or it has a nature where it terrifies the crap out of you, or it feels very dense or malevolent. Is this the same thing you've experienced? I've heard it's like a mixed bag of everything, you know?
Everything. It can be just as real as you make it. And I don't know. Like you said, some describe it very malevolently, which it can be. It definitely does not like to be manhandled. And, but again, you know, it depends on basically where you're coming from and how you're interacting with it. So you have to look at it from that angle. But it's definitely, it has a ancient archaeological feel about it, somewhat of like an old technology. It just sounds super cheesy, but it sounds like, you know, it's like an Indiana Jones type thing where you dug up something you weren't supposed to dig
right,
up.
And yeah.
It's engaging in a way that is alien to us in how its ability to precognitively understand our emotions and thoughts and work on our fears. It's really a lot of information that's taking, you know, data collection between whatever this device or spiritual entity is and how it interacts, especially with researchers.
Yeah. You find it reacts, you know, differently amongst people who are, you know, interested and want to interact with the phenomenon and are curious, right? It really goes after researchers.
Loves curiosity. And
yeah.
It's been described historically as a trickster type operation taking place, whether it's an alien artificial intelligence or just a malevolent dark being from, you know, antiquity. It's very glorious in how it acts. It's much like the Elohim in the Bible, like these gods with a small g that are able to just get a lot done together, but no one is it. But just that precognition aspect is, that's merit enough, I think, for a small g behind your name instead of a PhD.
Yeah,
or something.
And all this aspect, this spiritual aspect, it terrifies, you know, your old school nuts and bolts researchers. They won't touch this stuff because now that they're finding out it's all connected to spirituality and consciousness, and there's, you know, this duality nature, some of it's good. They're like, They don't know what to do. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to go after it. It terrifies them. And especially some of these older guys in like the Pentagon, they're saying this is a demonic phenomenon. You know, I don't want to call it that, but it is definitely something very powerful. Like you said, it could be ancient type of spiritual multidimensional presence there. And another really creepy aspect that I want you to speak to, I think we talked about this before, is like disembodied voices that you're hearing and strange sounds.
I'm so glad
sounds.
You went there.
Yeah, dude. Let's talk a little bit about that.
That's actually my favorite and probably the most ancient type of interaction that takes place, because that's been well documented in Greek mythology. You know, the people were under the impression that the gods would speak above them, they could hear them. And they had, you know, just an array of entities or gods with a small g that they gave names to. And all of them were not good. There were bad ones in there. So it's much like, you know, you run up to a landing aircraft and you just interact with the first entity coming off of it. You know, it could be a nice guy, could be a total not nice guy.
Yeah.
And it's truly fantastic the way the information transfer takes place, because you can start to tell really quick what's going on. So it's definitely interesting. It's and then you have all kinds of other aspects. So it's, you know, it's interacting like a technology, but in very elemental formats. Mm. So it's like ability to, you know, go from a person wearing an animal skin to the actual animal itself by some kind of, you know, ability to mimic, whether that be, and it could be that the ancient Native American lord just found out how to interact better with this entity and really had that science down to a, you know, to a T.
Right. And we've talked about this before as well, how the energy and whatever, if it's entities out there or some kind of spiritual beings, that they can attach themselves to you. And even if you leave the area, you still experience some of the phenomenon. You can even take it home with you to where these, whatever these trickster entities, they hang out in your house for a little while. And you've experienced this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. It seems like when you're in closer proximity, you experience it more. When I buffered and moved further away from the area, it minimized a little bit, but their ability to, it's not a problem. This is what this thing does. Time and space is, it's yeah. Basketball. So yeah, it can definitely interact in a way that seems beyond our capability for all, you know, reality.
Now, researchers like James Keenan, I don't know if his overall thoughts on the phenomenon has changed, but like we were saying earlier, we're talking about some kind of, you know, ancient technology that surrounds the area, but I think he believes it's more of kind of like an extraterrestrial type of technology rather than, you know, a metaphysical, but even though I think it's still connected. What do you think? Do you think that there's more of a type of extraterrestrial presence or something older, something more spiritual, something more involved with the occult and multidimensional, you know?
Both. I think that the these entities or intelligences or technologies, if we want to call them that, in the way that they interact or usually act, they are very possibly some of the communications that people had in the past of, you know, entities much like the Greeks or the Aztec, which actually they're finding more information. Let me put it this way to be more accurate. They're finding more information that is leading to the theory that the Aztec were actually brought about in the Uinta Basin and that then they merged south to different areas, but that they actually began in the Uinta Basin, which would perfectly correlate with these theories that both James Keenan and myself have, that, you know, this is fantastic information. He's found information where a lot of the archaeological aspects and how they mimic or are the same as some in Sardinia and other parallels if you follow the globe, and how these same areas are having the same. So is it a spiritual form of energy that goes around the earth and the people in those areas are interacting with it and creating the same entities that are then actually still there and have the ability? It's a big and long, deep rabbit hole. But I do think that when it comes to figuring it out, we're, you know, it's one of those things, you know, like I've always wanted to figure it out, and it's just unquenchable thirst I have. So
yeah.
I think James has the same thing. It's going to be interesting what's found out, and there's a bunch of people involved and they're all making leaps and bounds. So.
Yeah. And the more I learn about it, the less I understand, you know, it gets deeper and deeper. It's like an onion you keep peeling and there's more layers. So it's quite a deep conversation to understand and unpack everything. But you've also been involved and witnessed, you know, animal mutilations, cattle mutilations, things of this nature. What do you think is going on there? Do you think this more of a us doing this, our government kind of snatching up these cows or doing that for some reason, for experimental reasons, or that it may be extraterrestrial or even some kind of, you know, demonic or evil entity that is messing with these animals?
It could be legitimately. There's arguments for all those aspects. It could legitimately be high-end research investigating effects of certain interactions with bovine creatures. Like, we know that Colm Kelleher, he's got an extensive background in specifically the biology having to do with like mad cow disease, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, and how it travels and basically goes through the herds of these cattle. So that is a very real aspect to, I think, some of this. There is something that seems like it is of an alien nature that is, I mean, chopping these things up, and it seems as if they're chopped up somewhere else. Doesn't seem as if they're chopped up where they're dropped or where they're dumped.
Yeah.
And they usually don't have blood. It's almost like they were taken to a laboratory or a meatpacking plant or something and sliced and diced with heavy horsepower equipment with surgical precision, and then boom, dropped wherever they want. And so
don't they have sometimes like high radiation readings as well coming off of these animals?
Extremely high EMF and radiation readings coming off of them. And there's other telltale signs. So depending on how new the body is, there's all kinds of, I mean, predators won't touch it. They won't come anywhere near it, which is very hard to believe in these areas where food is so
That's scarce. That's super interesting.
So yeah, there's some otherworldly stuff going on with them.
Now, do you have any theories as to why? Why would they want to, you know, slice up an animal like they did and drop it, you know, a few miles away from where it was picked up? What do you think that they're doing? Is it some kind of testing to find out what makes our animals tick or what makes us tick?
It could be. It could be just interaction with an animal that is of a different wavelength than us and easier to coerce, at least from a spiritual energy perspective, into, you know, it's a docile animal. It's something that's very easy to manipulate. So that's fearful and in its true form, because it could just be interacting with that animal much the way we do.
Have you noticed any other animals besides cows that have, you know, strange deaths or mutilations to them?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Different types of, it sounds strange. Some of the animals shouldn't even be in the area, but different types of dogs. Dogs don't fare well in the area. They are cut up and diced up and dropped in certain ways that don't really make sense. Also just thrown places. So yeah, I wouldn't take pets to the area really. And small children, I wouldn't highly recommend it, even though it's done.
Yeah. Have they had cases of small children go missing or anything like that?
I haven't looked into that. That's a really interesting, that'd be interesting to look into. I haven't looked into that.
Yeah. Wow. That's very creepy. Now, what about Bigfoots? I was talking with Katie Grabowski, who wrote the Colorado Skinwalker Ranch book, and she was saying out there they have these strange, like, white, fuzzy, huge Bigfoot-looking things. Also in the meadow, wherever this non-disclosed location is, they had the same thing as well. Have you ever seen any kind of Bigfoot entities or white, fuzzy creatures?
I haven't seen white fuzzy, and unless it's you're looking through a thermal, but yeah, no, they've been darker in the fur. They follow the waterways. They, I say they, you don't really know what they are. They are just large, and they seem to easily fall into that Bigfoot category, but they're also very elusive, and it's really hard to get images. And I do know some people that claim to have images, and so
I've taken... Do you think those are more metaphysical or interdimensional, or are they physical beings?
Back in about 2012, I saw one in an area between Duchesne and Fort Duchesne, and it was in a wetland, and the way this thing was acting, I got a picture of it, so it was...
Oh, wow.
But even I, when I got the picture, was thinking, is this thing real? Like, is this a real entity, or is it more a metaphysical entity?
Man, that is super weird. What about the lights that you were talking about? You told us the story about how the lights emitted these little nanobot-looking technologies. There's also all kinds of stories of anomalous lights that follow you around and have some sort of intelligence. Have you ever had any other encounters with these?
Yeah, there's blue lights, and they seem to also interact along these waterways, but they act as if they're intelligently controlled. And there's also sprites. We call them sprites, but they're just smaller versions of the same thing that seem to be, and you can catch them on camera quite easily, but they also seem intelligently controlled. So it's difficult to know basically what you're interacting with.
Man, that's crazy. When I was at the UFO conference this past year, do you know researcher Trey Hudson? Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, he's absolutely.
He was showing us a video of these individuals that walked into what could only be seen as a portal. They disappeared from sight off the thermal camera, and they were still there. They were still communicating, but they weren't there. They weren't on the camera. They went into some kind of subspace and then walked out, you know, however many feet away from where they entered. And it was the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. Have you ever seen anything like this, or, you know, witnessed any kind of portal activity?
Yeah, I've caught things that seem like a cookie cutter human being body type coming out of light sources. And it just makes you wonder, like, what's going on, you know? And I have images of them. I'll have to send you some, but yeah, they're, I don't know. I don't know what they are. They seem to just be able to come through whatever these are. And I guess individuals could easily just as well go through them as well.
Do you think that the military, could be using this in, I wouldn't doubt if they're using it in nefarious ways, but to me, it seems like they're trying to harness some of the energy and power that's out there. And that wouldn't be a smart thing in my view. But what do you think? Because anytime I'm looking at military industrial activity, especially when they're looking into paranormal stuff or extraterrestrials, it gives me a very uneasy feeling, you know?
Yeah, they are very much trying to revolutionize the technology if they can. And you can tell that just it's just the way things have always been done in any type of government, no matter whether it's communist, socialist, or, you know, capitalist, it's all going to do the same thing and interact with this on a, how is this better for me, way. So It's an interesting discussion if it's just power for the sake of power, or if there's really a search for wisdom, because I think there's some wisdom involved there too, in the way that this trickster is able to not be caught. And it's that sounds really strange, but it continues to interact with people throughout a timeline, which would seem impossible. So
what are your thoughts about after 2020, after all the turmoil started happening around our planet and we started seeing all this agendas coming forward and people waking up and realizing that they've been lied to and all this kind of spiritual awakening that we've been seeing around the planet? Has that had any kind of effect on the areas or energy that that you're witnessing?
You know, I think that it is about the same. It could care less, but
it's good to know. It's kind of comforting to know that.
It's every bit as it hasn't backed down much. Let's put it that way, or been cordial to our needs. So it's still interacting the same way as an anomaly would. But I don't know, man. As far as myself, I'm definitely questioning a lot of things with these new and ridiculous times.
Now, I want to get your thoughts on the nature of reality in general, based on all these crazy experiences you've had and what you've witnessed in that area. Like you were talking about earlier, reality seems very malleable and we can change it at will and we can manifest things. And with all this stuff that is manifesting in these areas and the intelligences that are interacting with people that you've witnessed, what do you think is the nature of our reality on this planet? Do you think that we are in some kind of holographic type of situation where we can manifest our own reality and change things at will, and these entities can pop in and out, and they have more control and involvement over our entire reality than we realize right now?
I think they do. They're watching, much like a...
You think they're watching, or they may have even, you know, more control than that?
They probably have more control, but they do seem to be watching, much like an employee would watch a conveyor belt at a factory or something.
That's interesting.
You know,
makes
some
me think
data
of the Petri dish aspect. You know, we could be some kind of grand experiment or something, you know?
It's very possible. There's an orientation that is very... You don't know why exactly something would, a watcher of that sort or something interacting in that sort of way with the abilities that it has would want to waste its time interacting with someone based on their fears, their energies, and, you know, their spiritual evolution. So it's very strange that an entity would do that, or a technology would do that. So that part, I think, is part that's related to the phenomena in some way, shape, or form.
Have you experienced any other type of paranormal activity besides the, you know, extraterrestrials and what we spoke of earlier with the, you know, strange animals and myths and things of that nature? I'm talking about more like spirits or ghosts or objects moving or other high strangeness that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, there was once a interaction with a drone-like device, but it was a little bit different because although it was interacting the same way with the light and traveling at fast distances when it was off, or possibly moving faster than the speed of light, now that I think about it, I don't know. But it would, you would see it for a few seconds and then it would be gone. And then it would be somewhere else. And depending on what you did when it was there, it would know if you were in the area or not. And I tried to escape this thing and was running from this light. And I was usually very good and able to do this. If this ever happened, I'd interacted with these things before. And this time I wasn't very good. I definitely dropped the ball. I wasn't on my game. And this thing, whatever it was, I felt what felt like a hot water balloon. When it was really on me, I could see the light behind me almost chasing me. And I was like, oh, I'm done. And I felt what felt like a hot water balloon had been thrown at me from just a couple feet away. Felt like hot water running down my back. And then it was gone. And I was checking myself to make sure I was not wet. And, you know, and then I just kind of sat there for a while waiting for whatever it was to kick in or do whatever it was supposed to do, but I felt nothing. And it's almost more horrific, you know, nothing happened. It was just freaking playing with me in a way.
I've heard of instances of people being out there and being physically harmed by either unexplained phenomenon or getting sick or just coming down with something all of a sudden and they can't explain it. Have you witnessed or had anything like that happen?
A couple of times I have. One was a former researcher. His name was Daryl Smith. And I was with him and another researcher named Ron Johnson. And we were in the back of a property that I owned at the time. And this seemingly men in black type individual parked nearby. And through our night vision, we could tell that he had some kind of gun looking thing. It looked like a Nerf or a Super Soaker or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But that's what it looked like, a Super Soaker or a Nerf gun.
That's crazy.
And it you know, it started to light up at the end with like a pulse. And myself and Ron both ducked, and Daryl just kind of stayed there looking at it, and you could see the light coming at you. But he shortly after that got Lou Gehrig's disease. We don't know if it was related. He believed it was, but he started having trouble walking, and yeah, he was dead in no time. Another individual is Jack Osborne. He actually was out with me and had the first signs of multiple sclerosis. And that's when he found out he had MS. He started losing sight in one eye while he was on Skinwalker Ridge. So,
oh my gosh.
I think there's something to it, whether it is related or not. Yeah. Impossible to prove.
Man, that is incredible. Ryan, man, always awesome. Fantastic stories every time you come on. Do you have anything interesting that's coming up or that you're working on that you'd like to discuss?
I'll just stay in touch with you and let you know how things are going.
Hell yeah, man. I want to thank you so much again for coming on. And we'll definitely talk again in the future. That was great.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening, and we will talk again tomorrow.